Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT FY 2020 results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rob de Vos, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Amanda, and good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Arena REIT's results presentation for the full financial year of 2020. Our announcement, investor presentation, and financial statements were released to the ASX earlier this morning. My name's Rob de Vos, Arena's Managing Director. Joining me on the call today is Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer. Before moving into today's presentation, I'd like to acknowledge the impact and challenges COVID-19 has brought to many communities. On behalf of Arena, I'd like to express our gratitude to our tenant partners, and particularly those frontline staff keeping each of our early learning centers and healthcare properties open over this period. Challenges and uncertainties remain, but our executive team and board are confident in Arena's strategy, the strength of our portfolio, and the important contribution the services we accommodate will make in aiding economic recovery and improving future community outcomes. Moving into the presentation, for those that are following it on page three, Arena has demonstrated its resilience through the year. We've seen positive outcomes from our portfolio and capital management programs, including those in the more challenging environment in the second half. Our headline results reflect that resilience. Statutory profit for the year is up 76.6, so 29% up on financial year 2019. Earnings per security of 0.1455, up 5%, and distributions per security of 0.14 per security, which is up 4% on the prior year. We've seen further growth in net asset value, up 6%. Our average rent increases for the period were 3.4%, and as a result of valuation increases and our equity raise in June, we have a low gearing ratio of 14.8%. Pleasing headline numbers in the context of current external challenges. Portfolio and capital management programs are performing well, and with significant balance sheet capacity, we're well-positioned to take advantage of new opportunities that are consistent with our strategy. Moving to the next slide. Underpinning those positive portfolio and capital management outcomes is Arena's consistent approach, our strong industry relationships, and high conviction on maintaining our discipline and delivering on strategy. Operational highlights for the period under the key focus areas for our team, 100% occupancy across the portfolio has been maintained. Average rental growth of 3.4%, which includes 10 uncapped market reviews that were resolved in the period but related to financial year 2019. These market rent reviews provided an average increase of 19% in aggregate. We've acquired four operating properties, two early learning centers in Victoria, one early learning center in Queensland, and a medical center in Western Australia. Each have been acquired on our preferred long-term triple net leases and in aggregate cost 27 million dollars and have provided a net initial yield on all costs, including transaction costs of 6.3%. We've completed three successful early learning center developments with two existing tenant partners in New South Wales, South Australia, and Queensland for a total investment of 17 million dollars, which has provided a net initial yield on all costs, again, including transaction costs of 6.7%. We've acquired 17 new early learning center development sites that are located across four states. Each are pre-committed to new and existing tenant partners, all on 20-year triple net leases on sustainable rents of between 2,500-3,800 dollars per licensed place. During the period, we commenced our renewable energy program that is focused on working with our tenant partners to install and promote the use of solar and reduce the energy usage across our portfolio. We currently have approximately 10% of the portfolio using solar power and have agreed terms for a further 18 properties to have solar installations completed over the course of the first half of financial year 2021. We've undertaken further upgrade and rejuvenation works across 15 properties that has allowed us to improve asset quality and access better rental profiles. We've worked hard with our tenant partners over the second half to find an appropriate and proportionate balance on rent relief and have reached agreements with all eligible tenant partners where relief is required and justified to 30 June. Our WALE has been maintained at 14 years. We've sold five early learning centers that, relative to the balance of the portfolio, were older and less efficient. Each were located in regional Queensland, Total proceeds for those transactions in aggregate was $13.3 million, which provided a premium of about 11.6% to prevailing book value. And we've seen further valuation growth across the portfolio of $36.9 million for the year, and the passing yield for the portfolio is now at 6.22%. Moving on to the next slide. Clearly, a major focus of the business over the last 5 months has been assessing and addressing the direct and indirect impacts of COVID-19. The business has two primary risks as a result of the pandemic. Firstly, the health and well-being of our team, and as a result of that, our ability to provide business continuity. And the second primary risk is our tenants' ability and willingness to pay rent in a challenging operating environment. In response to the first risk, our team has responded exceptionally well, invoking our business continuity programs, our business systems, stakeholder engagement, our governance programs continue without hindrance. In relation to our tenants' ability and willingness to pay rent, it is worth recapping on the challenging early learning operating environment over this period. As was well publicised, the first lockdown period saw a significant reduction in occupancy levels and threatened the viability of the sector. The federal government provided a very strong response to support early learning in the form of subsidy payments equal to 50% of an operator's pre-COVID revenue, which coupled with the JobKeeper allowance, effectively put most services in a break-even position. A condition of that government support was that operators were prevented from charging families a fee and they no longer received the childcare subsidy. Post the removal of lockdown restrictions in most states and territories, we've seen a strong rebound in occupancy levels that are generally now within 5% of pre-COVID levels. As of 13 July, JobKeeper allowance has been removed, but operators are able to charge families the gap fee and are receiving the childcare subsidy as well as a transitionary payment equal to 25% of their gross revenue as at the end of February, which will be in place until the end of September. Unfortunately, challenging operating conditions remain in the stage 4 lockdown areas of Greater Melbourne, where only children of families with at least one permitted worker are able to attend early learning services. To protect the viability of operators from lower attendance levels and to ensure services are open to support the families of permitted workers, the federal government has increased the transitionary payment. So that 25% of pre-COVID revenue support becomes 30% for operators in those affected areas, and operators will continue to receive the childcare subsidy and be entitled to further transitionary payment support if their childcare subsidy rate at the relevant centres are less than 50% and they have low attendances. What has been consistent through the pandemic period is the efforts by the federal government to ensure that early learning services remain open and viable, not just for now, but for the important contribution they will make to an economic recovery, allowing working families to get back into the workforce. Every one of ARENA's early learning centres is currently open, operating and delivering essential community services, including in the stage 4 lockdown areas of Greater Melbourne. Likewise, in our healthcare portfolio, our medical centres and our SDA portfolio, all properties are open and trading, and across our healthcare portfolio, we have no material challenges in relation to rent collection at this time. Over the last 5 months, our team has acted decisively, applying for and passing on state government relief in the form of land tax rebates where available, and have completed all rent relief programs where justified, including incorporating relief under the National Code of Conduct programs with our SME tenants. On the next slide, you can see the impact of those rent relief programs on our cash receipts. As we've advised previously, we've collected 100% of our contracted rent in the period July 19 to March 2020, and we've set out the chart, the rent collection for the period 1 April to 30 June. As you can see, 84% of contracted income was received over that period, 14% was deferred and 2% was abated. We've agreed a relatively short period for deferred rent to come back into the business, with over 70% due in financial year 21. Whilst it's obviously been a challenging period, we believe that we've found the balance of supporting real estate value by supporting our tenant partners over this period, as well as adhering to the National Cabinet's code of conduct as it's legislated in the various jurisdictions for our SME tenants. I'll now pass you over to Gareth to provide some further details on our financial results. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks, Rob, and good morning, everyone. Just turning to page 8, you will find a summary of Arena's operating income statement for the year, which shows a 16% increase in net operating profit to $44 million and a statutory profit of $76 million. There is a reconciliation of net operating profit to statutory profit in the appendix to the presentation, with the most substantial reconciling items being the periodic revaluation of investment property and interest rate hedges. The operating EPS of 14.55 cents is 5% higher than last year and was in line with our expectations. The key driver of the increase in operating profit was the 10% increase in property income, which was derived from the like-for-like rent reviews, which averaged 3.4% during the year, and the contribution from Arena's ongoing investment in ELC developments and new acquisitions, noting the total investment expenditure in FY20 of $90 million, which included the completion of 3 ELC developments, the acquisition of 3 operating ELCs in conjunction with tenant partners, the acquisition of a healthcare asset, and the annualisation of the $70 million in development and acquisition expenditure during FY19. Some specific comments in respect of the COVID-19 related rent relief program. The property income as presented in the statement is net of around $300 million in allowances for COVID-19 related rent abatement. Rent deferred in FY20 of around $1.9 million is included in property income, with the cash flow timing accommodated in our reduced distribution payout ratio in FY20. As Rob just mentioned, the FY20 rent deferrals were predominantly short-term, with over 70% scheduled to be received in FY21 and 40% actually receivable in around 60 days after the end of the financial year. There are no rent arrears in the portfolio, and all of our expected July rent has been received. Other income includes fees from managing our unlisted healthcare property syndicate and interest income, with a small reduction compared to last year due to lower interest rates on cash balances over the second half. Property expenses increased due to additional allowances for independent valuations. Ordinarily, we complete independent valuations on a rolling 3-year cycle. Due to the onset of COVID-19, we elected to independently value 100% of the operating property portfolio. And there was also a portion of the portfolio that was previously independently valued at 31 December 2019 half year. There's a modest increase in cash operating expenses in FY20, primarily due to costs related to the growth of the business, including custodian insurances and the addition of team resources to support growth, and the engagement of a new independent director, being Rosemary Hartnett. The reduction in finance costs reflects a combination of reduced cost of borrowing and the expansion of development WIP, increasing total capitalisation of interest costs during the period. The average monthly WIP balance in FY20 was around $38 million versus about $10 million in FY19, and our overall cost of borrowing reduced to 3.15% by the end of the year compared to 3.65% in FY19. End of year gearing has also reduced by 7% to just under 15%. The higher statutory profit of $76 million is primarily attributable to the higher positive asset revaluations of $37 million versus $32 million in FY19, and a lower negative revaluation of interest rate hedges of $4 million versus $8 million in the prior year. Notwithstanding that operating earnings were in line with expectation, to accommodate COVID-19 related rent deferral and the timing of subsequent collections, the distribution payout ratio was reduced in FY20, and a distribution of 14 cents per security has now been paid compared to our initial guidance of 14.3 cents per security. That distribution represented growth of 3.7% on FY19. But turning to page 9, this presents a waterfall chart of EPS, which demonstrates the relativity of the individual items supporting EPS growth, noting that rent abatements had a relatively modest impact on FY20 EPS. And the key drivers of growth remain ongoing rent reviews and the deployment of capital into developments and acquisitions. Turning to page 10, we've got a summary of Arena's balance sheet. The full balance sheet is in the appendix to the presentation. Key points to note are that growth of total assets is primarily due to a net $80 million invested in acquisitions and developments in FY20, asset revaluations of $37 million, which were also the primary driver of the 6% increase in net assets per security. We're all holding also $76 million in cash reserves at 30 June, $25 million of which was SPP proceeds. But we've generally held liquidity of circa $40 to $50 million during the COVID-19 pandemic. The 50% increase in net assets was largely due to the $60 million institutional placement in June and the receipt of the SPP proceeds of $25 million in June and property valuations. Net gearing at around 15% is well below Arena's maximum gearing range of circa 35 to 40%, However, this level of gearing provides us with substantial liquidity to fund the existing pipeline of developments and will enable us to take advantage of growth opportunities at a low incremental cost of capital, and also provides a buffer around future market volatility. As I just mentioned, the June balance sheet includes the proceeds from the SPP of $25 million. However, the related securities were actually issued on the 1st of July 2020. In order to not distort the 30 June 2020 NAV per security calculation as shown, we actually included those securities issued on 1st of July in that calculation. I will note that gearing is expected to increase by a few percentage points from completing the development projects as outlined later in this presentation. Just turning to page 11, capital management. Again, there is some additional information included in the appendix. Our approach to capital management continues to prioritise resilience and risk reduction in the face of market volatility. $60 million was raised via an institutional placement in June, and the further $25 million just mentioned from the Associated Security Purchase Plan. Both of those issues were heavily oversubscribed and well supported by our existing investor base. At 30 June, we had around $190 million of immediately available liquidity through the cash reserves and debt facilities. The debt facilities were expanded by $50 million to $330 million in February, while we also extended the term at that time, so that the weighted average term at June was 3.5 years, and there is no expiry before March 2023, near 3 years from now. The combination of the modest gearing and the available liquidity allows us to actively consider new growth opportunities with circa $60 million of investment capex presently scheduled for FY21. Our average cost of debt reduced to 3.15%, and we expect that interest rate hedge cover to be maintained in that 70 to 80% range. If the reduction in interest rates experienced over FY20 prevails, we also expect that our average cost of debt will further reduce over time as there is positive reversion value in the current hedge book, noting the average rate of 2.2%. Finally, it is important to note that ARENA is operating well within the requirements of our debt facility, and we have substantial headroom in both our LVR and ICR covenants. I will now hand you back to Rob, who will update you on ARENA's property portfolio.
Thanks, Gareth. And I'm now on page 13 for those that are following. ARENA owns 239 properties across Australia with a value of $914 million. Portfolio comprises over 650,000 square metres of generally residential zone land with purpose-built improvements that accommodate some 20,000 families for their early learning needs, as well as contributing to the needs of 8 communities' primary healthcare needs in our medical centre portfolio and 35 people with the highest physical support needs in our specialist disability accommodation portfolio in metropolitan Adelaide. The portfolio's passing yield is 6.22%, which has seen compression over the 12-month period of about 10 basis points. Sector diversity remains unchanged for the period. Geographically, we have over 80% of the portfolio located in the eastern states, including 27% in Victoria and 20% in greater metropolitan Melbourne. We've also seen a slight increase to WA over the period following the acquisition of the Kalamunda healthcare asset. And in terms of tenant diversification, we continue to improve our spread of tenant partners, now totaling 28, with 30% of ARENA's income supported by Australia's largest early learning provider, Goodstart. Moving on to the lease expiry slide, the portfolio WALE, as you can see, there's been maintained at 14 years during the period as a result of proactive management initiatives, strong tenant relations, and new development and acquisition activity, with no current vacancies and no income expiring in the next 2 years. As you can see on the graph on this slide, we've less than 4% of the portfolio's income expiring in the next 8 years, and from there, the expiry profile of the portfolio is staggered relatively evenly from financial year 29 to 40, and a small proportion of income expiring in financial year 43 and beyond. These are very long-term, highly transparent, predictable cash flows that have annual escalations providing real growth to our security holders. Every one of our early learning centre properties and our specialist disability accommodation properties provides important operating information that assists us in making informed asset management and capital allocation decisions. Moving on to our rent review profile on the next slide. And here on this slide, we've broken down our rent review structures for financial year 20 and the following two financial years. Working up the first column on the chart, you can see that financial year 20 consisted of 79% of ratcheted rent reviews at the higher of CPI and at least 2.5%. Just under 10% were CPI reviews. with 7.7% unresolved market reviews, which relates to 26 properties. Each of those market reviews are capped and collared at that 0 to 7.5% range, and we anticipate these will be resolved over the first half of financial year 21. The final component on that graph there, on that first column there, is the 3.3% of renegotiated leases that involved increasing rents for an incentive, so rentalised capital expenditure, such as an upgrade of playscapes and a new lease term. We haven't included those renegotiated outcomes in our like-for-like increase, but they in themselves provided for an aggregate increase of 19%. Looking forward for financial year 22 and 23, you'll note the vast majority of rent reviews continue to be those fixed or CPI with at least 2.5% ratchet. Our exposure to market reviews is 8.7% for financial year 21, plus, of course, the unresolved market reviews of financial year 20. In financial year 22, market reviews account for about 3.8% of income. Each of the market reviews in 21 and 22 has a cap of 7.5% increase and a collar at the prevailing rent. So that, again, that's 7.5% to 0%. Perhaps most importantly, our exposure to CPI over the next 2 years is limited to less than 10% per annum. Moving on to page 16, our origination programs continue to perform well. We've secured a targeted pipeline of quality early learning centre development projects that will complement the portfolio and deliver future earnings growth. We anticipate completing 14 of our development projects through the course of financial year 21, and in total, our development pipeline now has 20 early learning centre projects that are located in Queensland, Tasmania, Western Australia, Victoria, and New South Wales, with a total forecast cost on completion of $112 million. Of which, as Gareth mentioned, we've got capital expenditure outstanding as at 30 June of $57 million. All of our development projects are being undertaken on a fund-through basis, and we've secured agreement for leases with existing tenant partners on every project in our standard 20-year triple net lease format. We have a very strong track record in delivering positive outcomes on our development pipeline. Over 25% of our current operating portfolio has been developed by us since listing in 2013, We've completed 40 successful early learning centre developments with 9 tenant partners across all states and territories, with the exception of the ACT. During financial year 20, we completed 3 further successful developments: Spring Farm in New South Wales with our existing tenant partner, Oxander, North Harbour in Queensland with an existing tenant partner, Edge Early Learning, and Valley View in South Australia with an existing tenant partner, Greenleaps. Both North Harbour and Valley View properties were handed over successfully to our tenant partners during the COVID-19 affected period. Moving on to the next slide, just in regards to the Early Learning Centre operating environment. And despite a challenging current environment, both major political parties and Australian communities more generally recognise that a well-performing early learning sector is integral to assisting Australians get back into the workforce in the short term. There is also a growing awareness of the positive lifelong learning prospects of children that attend early learning services and the role that plays in creating a more socially well-adjusted community and a more qualified and productive workforce in future generations. Prior to the onset of COVID, Australia recorded its highest number of children attending long daycare to December 2019, with attendances up 11.5% since the introduction of the childcare subsidy just 18 months earlier. The childcare subsidy was doing exactly what it was designed to do, increasing early learning participation and promoting higher workforce productivity. It's for that reason that the government has provided such a strong and consistent response in supporting the sector through COVID. It is recognised by both major political parties that an investment in early learning allows for stronger workforce productivity and future tax receipts and is integral to economic recovery. I won't repeat the various measures that have been undertaken by government recently. They are listed there for those that want to go through it later, but they are substantial and have allowed for the sector to remain viable through the depths of the isolation programs and have included provisions for the transition of the sector back to the previously well-performing childcare subsidy regime. So what does all that mean for ARENA? And moving on to the next slide, our portfolio is in a strong position. We're 100% occupied. Every one of our 211 operating early learning centres is open and trading, and every one of those centres provides us that important business operating data. And that data provides us the information that assists on asset management capital allocation decisions, as well as providing insight to the general health of the sector. As we have in previous reporting periods, we've included operating data up to the prior quarter. I appreciate this this is prior to the impact of COVID-19, but for consistency, we thought it was sensible to include this information. And that data provides that underlying operator occupancies remain stable up to March, end of March, and that's in that sort of high 70% range across the portfolio. Daily fee growth has again increased 5% from June 2019 to reflect an average of $109 per day, which importantly remains significantly below the government's benchmark fee of $134 per day. As you can see on the graph at the bottom of the page, the government funding package suits our early learning centre portfolio, which is typically geared towards that middle-income families. And to give this some context, 99% of our early learning centres have daily fees under the government's childcare subsidy benchmark fee as at March. Our average rent per place across the portfolio is approximately $2,350 per place, and given that we've developed more than 25% of the portfolio, as I mentioned, over the last 5 years, it remains highly affordable. So net to revenue ratio continuing to sit below that 11% mark as at March. Moving on to the next slide, in respect to the healthcare sector, and despite recent disruption to visitation and a higher usage of teleservices as a result of isolation measures, the macro trends for healthcare also remain positive. A higher number of people are moving into the older age brackets, and a higher proportion of the population is living with chronic illness, which underpins an increased need for healthcare services and, of course, the infrastructure to accommodate those services. During the period, we acquired an $11 million medical centre at an initial yield of 6.5%, which is co-located with the Kalamunda Public Hospital, approximately 17 kilometres east of Perth CBD. The property was purpose-built 7 years ago and is majority leased to Med Medical, a leading healthcare provider that has been operating in the Kalamunda community for over 60 years. Our largest healthcare tenant partner, the ASX-listed Healius, has traded well through the COVID-19 period and has recently announced their intention to sell their medical centre business to BGH Capital. We've commenced discussions with Healius regarding the change of control, our change of control provisions in each of those leases. SA Care, our specialist disability accommodation tenant partner, continues to perform well, maintaining high occupancy and increasing profitability over the period. Moving on to the outlook on page 20, and today we're announcing full-year distribution guidance for financial year 21 of between 14.4 and 14.6 cents per security, equating to an increase of between 3 and 4% on financial year 20. Income growth is underpinned by contracted annual rent increases and the full impact of financial year 19 and 20 acquisition and development completions. We also continue to make good progress in our development pipeline, with 14 projects anticipated to be completed in financial year 21, which will support future earnings growth. Looking forward, early learning and healthcare services are integral to economic recovery and improving community outcomes. And those important themes underpin ARENA's portfolio value and investment objective of providing long-term predictable distributions to our security holders with prospects for growth. We've increased our funding capacity and now have gearing at 14.8% and have no debt expiry falling due until March 23, with a highly engaged and experienced management team that has strong industry relationships and in-house origination and development expertise, and that will assist us in sourcing future opportunities in a disciplined manner. And finally, we remain well positioned to navigate the new and emerging challenges arising from pandemic conditions. And whilst uncertainties remain, we are confident in our strategy and will be working hard to meet our own and our stakeholders' expectations to deliver on our investment objectives.